Today we continue with our sermon series, Gifts That Keep On Giving, with a focus on the gift of bold action. Now Jesus invites us to be his disciples. He says to us, follow me. And we follow Jesus by putting into action what he leads us to do. And to help us reflect on this, we'll turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. I'll read verses 12 through 23. This is the story of Jesus calling his first disciples. And so if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to open to that passage. Again, it's Matthew 4, verses 12 through 23. Let's listen now to our scripture. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Ernest Hemingway's book, The Old Man in the Sea, tells the story of an epic struggle between an old seasoned fisherman named Santiago and the greatest catch of his life. Now, Santiago had been dealing with a long streak of bad luck. This Cuban fisherman felt miserable because for 84 consecutive days, he had set out to fish, and yet he always returned empty-handed. And he was so unlucky that the parents of his young apprentice, Manolin, forced their son to leave Santiago and work for a more prosperous boat. Now, that didn't deter Santiago, who was confident that his unproductive streak would come to an end, though he knew he needed to do something different. And that led him to take a risk and to boldly sail out farther than usual. Now, this was a gamble. It was a gamble to do this in his little boat without his first mate, because there are so many potential dangers and pitfalls. But he was willing to take the risk with the hope that his luck would change. So he sailed his boat far beyond the shallow waters where he normally fished, and he went into the Gulf Stream. And once there, he dropped his lines and waited for a fish to bite. And at noon, a fish bit. He was sure, a marlin. And Santiago skillfully hooked that fish. The only problem was that he couldn't reel it in. The fish actually started pulling the boat. And the old man chose to not tie the line to the boat because he feared that it might snap. So he held on to the line with his own hands, ready to give some slack should the marlin make a run to freedom. And it did. That fish put up a huge fight. It pulled throughout the day and throughout the night and through another day and another night. And the entire time, Santiago endured constant pain from the fishing line that cut into his skin whenever the fish lunged and made a dash for freedom. And although he was wounded, that old man felt a deep empathy and admiration for that fish. And they were like kindred spirits in suffering, strength, and resolve. And by the third day, the fish had finally tired. Santiago was exhausted too, but he had managed to pull the marlin close enough so that he could kill it with his harpoon. And what he saw was amazing. It was the biggest marlin he had ever laid eyes on. To say the least, he was thrilled beyond measure. And as soon as he tied his catch to his boat, he set sail toward home and had thoughts of all the money he would make. But on the way there, sharks picked up on the scent of that freshly killed fish. They were looking for a good meal, and they found an easy prey. The old man tried to fend off the first shark that tried to attack his fish, but in the process, he lost his harpoon, and that left him vulnerable to more shark attacks. He tried his best to fend them off, but those scavengers were bent on getting that marlin, and the old man's efforts were futile. Eventually, those sharks devoured all of the marlin's meat, leaving behind only a skeleton of that giant fish. Now, Santiago was down in the dumps when he returned home. All he wanted to do was go to bed and fall into a deep sleep. And while his fishing trip didn't end with a big payday, his bold action paid dividends in a different way. His young apprentice, Manolin, had come back and agreed to be his fishing partner once again. And that's when life began looking better. Now, there comes a time in everyone's life when bold action is needed. There comes a time when you need to make a big decision that's going to change your life. Or a time when you need to stand up for justice when you see something wrong. Or a time when you need to have a hard conversation with another person who's done something that needs to be confronted. As followers of Jesus, there comes a time when we need to answer the words, "Follow me," with action. Now, there's certainly a time to prepare, which is a big part of discipleship. But eventually, we need to act. In the Gospel of Matthew, John the Baptist had been sent to prepare the way for Jesus, which he did by proclaiming the message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And when Jesus began his ministry, he said the same thing, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, their messages were the same. They both were calling people to action, and specifically the action of repentance. But the effect was slightly different. John's call to repent was focused on what one must turn away from. He wanted people to turn away from their sins. But Jesus's call to repentance is really more about turning toward God. It's about turning toward what God is doing through Jesus. And this is made clear when Jesus calls two fishermen named Peter and Andrew, and he says to them, "Follow me," which is about so much more than just accepting Jesus into your heart and becoming a believer. See, Jesus wanted them to follow him wherever he might go. He wanted them to follow his example and to put into practice what he would teach them. He wanted them to act in bold ways. And we see this lived out in our scripture. Peter and Andrew acted boldly after they heard Jesus' invitation. They immediately left their nets and their work, and they started moving with Jesus. And so did James and John. They were sitting in their boat with their father when Jesus called them, and they acted boldly by leaving their boat and their father and their careers. You know, following Jesus led all four fishermen to take decisive action. And then our scripture passage ends with Jesus moving through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, curing diseases, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And the implied message here is that discipleship requires us to keep moving with Jesus. It requires us to keep discerning where God is leading. Now, following Jesus begins by accepting the invitation to follow him. That leads us to turn away from sin and to turn toward God. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus is constantly calling us to go where he's leading. This isn't an easy thing to do either, because following Jesus can be complex. Now, I think we're clear on some of the ways we follow Jesus. We know, for example, that we shouldn't murder and steal. That's clear. But there are also lots of gray areas where we might not know what we should do. There are issues that we face that Jesus never addressed. And so what should we do in those situations? And there are also those times when we sense Jesus calling us into something new, but we're not quite sure what that new thing is. So it's in situations like these that we're invited to step out into faith and discern where God is leading. We're invited to step out from what we've been so that we can discover what God wants us to become. Now, one of the difficult parts of following Christ out into the unknown is that there will be people who criticize us, or they may even oppose what we want to do. And this happens because people always find reasons to not follow Christ. We always come up with excuses of why we shouldn't follow. But our faith demands that we should always be discerning of where God is leading. And to do this, we have to pay attention to life. We have to pay attention to the presence of God. We have to be alert to the ways in which God's path is being revealed to us. And then the really hard part is that we have to decide if we're going to walk down that path. Now, it can be difficult to discern how God is calling us to follow, especially when it involves some part of life that falls into a gray area. Moving into the unknown, doing something new, doing something different can feel unsettling because we don't know how things will play out. Taking that kind of action can be risky, and success isn't guaranteed. But God isn't calling us to be successful. We're called to be faithful. Now, we live out our faith in bold ways when we hold the unknown alongside a sense of God's calling. And that gives us courage and peace as we follow Christ. When we genuinely trust God's leading, acting boldly will come naturally, and it can be a tremendous gift to others. Now, Jesus hints at this as he called his first disciples. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Now, Peter and Andrew and James and John were all professional fishermen, but they didn't have a lot of fishing gear. In fact, they didn't even have hooks. All they had were nets. Now, these nets were circular in shape, and they had heavy weights around the edges. And fishermen had to learn how to use those heavy nets. They had to learn how to open the mouth of those nets and how to surround a school of fish. This was intense physical work. But these fishermen never used a line and a lure waiting for a fish to strike. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, recognizing this little detail shapes how we understand what it means to follow Jesus and to fish for people. See, hooks puncture and injure of fish. But nets surround and they gather. When Jesus was teaching his disciples what it means to follow him, he used the image of fishing with nets. He was calling them to fish for people by acting in bold ways that bring people to Christ. This is not about gimmicks and using different schemes to hook people and reel them in. You don't bring people to Jesus by hurting them or harming them or insulting them. Instead, you act in ways that naturally move people toward Jesus, which involves bold acts of love, bold acts of kindness, bold acts of grace, bold acts of mercy, bold acts of healing, bold acts of blessing. This is how Jesus lived. And when we act like this, we're acting a little more like him. When Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people," he was extending an invitation to us to live more like him. He was extending an invitation to follow the ways of God, which we do by discernment. He was extending an invitation for us to step out from what we've been so that we can discover what God wants us to become. And that leads us to act boldly. And when we act boldly, we're blessing others. It's a tremendous gift that we can give to the world. So my questions for you all today are this. What is God leading you to do? How are you being nudged to put your faith into action? Would you pray with me? Oh God, you continue to call us to follow you and to join in your work, but we don't always know what to do. Sometimes we're afraid to venture into the unknown, and sometimes we get so bogged down with life that we fail to discern where you're leading. We pray today that we would listen to your Spirit. We pray that we would look to the path that you're laying before us. And we pray that your Spirit would empower us to walk with Jesus wherever he leads, and that we will act in bold ways that bring your kingdom closer to our world. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.